This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There is absolutely not a marquee. I don't see one. Is there one? I'm looking with my name on it. We got to get one, or else it's false advertising. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Plenty of football to talk about this hour. Of course, it is a college football Saturday. Corey McCartney, college football analyst, Heisman voter, will join me coming up at 9:20 a.m. About to get into my NFL picks for this week. Real quick, before I do that, though, did you guys see the whole LeBron thing on Wednesday night, I think it was, against the Utah Jazz, where not only did he travel, blatant travel, and didn't get called, but later, the Salt Lake announcers got really, really salty.
Inside, Tony blocked by Kuzma, got it back. Big fella turns in a crowd, continues to fight, blocked again.
Look at LeBron, he's on the court.
With no shoes, mind you.
What is going on here?
That's some disrespect right there.
Look good, and obviously the Lakers look good here tonight. Teams look good in blowouts, and then look at LeBron onto the court, no shoes on.
Yeah, he'd given his shoes away to a fan behind the Laker bench.
You can't allow that if you're a referee.
Well, I mean, I agree with the last part. If there was any like comeuppance, it should have been the refs, you know, issuing a technical or whatever you do for getting on the court. Other than that, like, get over it, announcers. Who cares? I mean, the teams look good in blowouts. Yeah, the Lakers have been in a lot of blowouts this year because they're a good team. Only Milwaukee has performed at anywhere near the level that the Lakers have so far this year. And, you know, it's just further proof. The attention LeBron receives is the actual admission of his greatness, right? Just the no one has received anywhere near the attention or scrutiny or what have you. Appears in layup line with his kid, you know, and that's a story. Dances with his shoes off, and that's a story. Last night, he picked up a concession worker. I don't know if you saw that. He accidentally bumped into her as he was going down the sideline, and then he walked back over and picked her up and helped her up, and they shared a smile, and that's going to be a story. Like, no matter what the guy does, it's a story, and that's because he is who he is, the greatest who ever did it. And now he's in on the Lakers, and it's funny because remember all the talk, you know, from detractors about the East. The East this week, LeBron wouldn't do that if he was in the West. Well, LeBron's in the West. What's it look like now? You know, I understand he missed the playoffs last year. He got hurt last year. That's really what happened. Once he got healthy and he got AD, but look now. The Lakers are 20-3. 20-3. Just discarding teams. Haven't had a losing streak all season. And, you know, teams like the Nuggets and the Jazz, don't make me laugh. Those teams are not competition for LeBron James in a playoff series. Goodbye. The idea that the Denver Nuggets would defeat LeBron in a playoff series is laughable. Same with the, you know, team like the Jazz. The only team that has a chance, if the Lakers stay healthy, in a playoff series is probably the Clippers out West. In the East, I mean, out West also, you got to, I will give Dallas a little respect. They're dangerous the way Luka's playing. But in the East, Milwaukee's playing at such a high level. However, Giannis still has some limitations when it comes to money time in the playoffs. So as of right now, you know, he may not have had the walk called in the game. LeBron's walking all over the Western Conference, and I'm not sure there's a better team in the league, period, than the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, time to get to my NFL picks for this week. And so far this year, it's really been an odd year. I started off just so poorly and put myself in a hole I've never been able to get out of. I've been about 500 since the first 2 weeks of the season. So take that for what it's worth. Only going to do five this week because that's how many I looked at and liked. 49ers plus 2.5 over the Saints. That's the first one. 49ers, very good team, obviously, proving themselves this year. Them getting points, I'm going to jump on, right, in almost any situation. They're a good enough team where if they're getting points, I'm going to take them. I know the Saints are also a very good team, but the 49ers' defensive line is strong, and Drew Brees has had some recent trouble, you know, with batted balls and pressure in his face and stuff like that. And I think the 49ers can really do that in that specific matchup against the Saints. So I like San Francisco as they're in this back-and-forth contest with Seattle to win that division to actually beat the New Orleans Saints. So give me the 49ers plus 2.5 over New Orleans. Next up, I'll take the Dolphins plus 5 over the Jets. This is just a revenge bet against the Jets. They finally convinced me to take them in a game, and then they lost it in embarrassing fashion to the Bengals, which is, that's like, the Jets have mastered that art more than any other franchise. You'd have to say that, right, Anthony, right? Aren't they the best at right when you think there might be something to be good,
like
pulling the rug out from under you?
Figure it out.
Yeah.
They lose to the winless Bengals.
That's their patented move. The Jets do that very well. Like, oh, you think there's something good? Nah.
It's so funny. Last week, that line was just jumping out at me. It's been a while since I actually wagered on an NFL game, but I was really tempted to do the Jets. And we have that new sports book that opened up in New Jersey. I live in New York, so after work, I actually went over. It's near Giants Stadium in the Meadowlands. I didn't realize it was Giants game day, so I guess on game days you have to like park elsewhere and you get like bussed over to the sports book.
Oh, really?
So I like went trying to get in. I got turned back. Thankfully, thankfully I wasn't able to get in because I was going to go place money on the Jets, but they turned me back. They said I couldn't go in, so thankfully that saved me.
So you went home?
I went home,
Oh,
yes.
Okay. You didn't want to do the bus thing. Yeah, that seems like a whole experience. But yeah, I did put some money on them. Not much, but I did bet on the Jets, and this is a revenge for that. Just like, I'm just picking the Dolphins out of spite. But the Dolphins are playing better. Is there any difference between the Dolphins and the Jets, really? Like, what's the difference? Aren't they the same? I know, like, at the beginning of the year, we talked about the Dolphins tanking, but they're essentially the same.
They played tough all season. They had not quit once. Yeah. Those players have played tough for that coach. They've done a great job.
And the Jets are 4-8, and the Dolphins are 3-9. What's the difference between the Jets and the Dolphins? I've been riding the Bucks lately. I'm going to keep doing that. Bucks minus 3 over the Colts. The Bucks lost a lot of close games to start the year, and I just, you know, figured that would turn around. Like, you're not going to lose all the close games. Now, maybe when your quarterback is an interception machine, doesn't exactly help, but he also can throw the ball down the field. Jameis is sort of a roller coaster at quarterback, but the Bucs have started to win some of those games. And I like riding with them because the Colts have lost 4 out of 5 as well. So the trends just tell me to take the Bucs in that one, minus 3 over the Colts. I'll go with the Chiefs plus 3 over the Pats. You know, I really don't love betting against the Patriots under any circumstances, especially when they're playing at home. But the Chiefs feel like a real sleeping giant at this point in the season. We kind of forgot about them. Patrick Mahomes went down. And I think they're due for that run of putting it all together and reminding everybody that they're in that conversation. You know, like, I really want to see a Chiefs-Ravens playoff game. That's the one. If you let me pick any game to see the rest of this year, I think that's the one I would pick. Chiefs and Ravens in the playoffs. I think the Chiefs start to put it together, start to put those big numbers on the board offensively. And as good as the Patriots defense is, their offense is not playing to that level yet. This is not a panic or bet against the Patriots moment. Even with a loss this week, which would be 2 in a row, they'd be at 10-3. So the Patriots are fine, and they usually figure it out come playoff time or you know, a few games before. Maybe this will be the game, and I'll be completely wrong. But right now, I like the Chiefs plus 3 over the Patriots. Finally, I'll take the Steelers minus 2.5 over the Cardinals. The Steelers are another team I've been riding as of late. It served me pretty well. You know, Mike Tomlin just has a history. He has a track record. He's never had a losing season. in his tenure at Pittsburgh. He's been there forever. I think the quarterback switch they made helped them just slightly. Not like they have a good quarterback in there now, but Rudolph was kind of out and out bad. And I think the Steelers' defense, the Fitzpatrick move, was really big for them. The Cardinals have shown some flashes with Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, don't get me wrong, but they're still clearly not there yet as an overall squad, hence being 3-8. With the Steelers in the midst of this playoff run and really trying to battle to get in there, that's a game I think they take. I don't think they drop it. So give me the Steelers -2.5 over the Cardinals. To sum up, that's the 49ers +2.5 over the Saints, the Dolphins +5 over the Jets, the Bucks -3 over the Colts, the Chiefs +3 over the Patriots, and the Steelers -2.5 over the Cardinals. Time to get into some college football. Ole Miss finalizing a deal with Lane Kiffin. What do we think about that? And then, of course, the games today. You know, some of the big undefeated teams playing today. Of course, Clemson has Virginia, Ohio State, Wisconsin, LSU, Georgia. Any of those teams going to suffer an L today? I'll ask Corey McCartney, college football analyst and Heisman voter, coming up next. You can weigh in as well, 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Again, 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
You know how often I get called Ryan, even by like my closest friends? Or Rob. Wait, I just had this conversation. So there was like a party for, you know, in my apartment complex, a bunch of kids, you know, and the adults, obviously, you know, we hang out, kids same age, we're all friendly, so we held various activities. I think last Saturday, there was like a Christmas movie thing down the hall. So one of the families was showing a Christmas movie the kids could watch while we all hung out and did our adult things. And a bunch of them were like, wait, your name is Robin? They find out for the first time. I don't know how they got introduced or how it even came up. You always called Rob. Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people call me, Rob. But professionally, I go by my real name, which is Robin. And it doesn't bother me. All right, I'm joined now by Corey McCartney, college football analyst and Heisman voter. Corey, let's start with the news, I guess, out of college football, which would be Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. He's been an enigmatic character, let's put it that way. What do you make of this decision for Kiffin and for Ole Miss?
I like it. You know, I think this is a program that needed an infusion of something. And I know that's kind of a vague thing to say there, but you think about the way things were headed with Hugh Freeze, and certainly, you know, you can go back to Houston Nutt and then really getting them back on the map. And, you know, I think what Hugh Freeze was doing, was certainly building something. And I think it would stagnant for a bit. I think they need somebody who's going to just bring a little bit of a swagger back. And I go back to, you know, from when I was at Sports Illustrated, and we had the cover with Lane Kiffin kind of pulling down the sunglasses. And you either love Lane Kiffin or you hate him. And there's certainly a lot more people on the hate Lane Kiffin side. But I think he brings something that's going to invigorate this program a little bit and kind of make it cool for some of these kids to want to be back with the Rebels.
So you think it'll help on the recruiting side?
I think it will. You know, and I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, you saw this at FAU. He takes chances on kids. You know, he'll take a chance on the kids that, you know, fell through the cracks or, you know, had their problems at other programs. I think he's going to get them to a position where, you know, they're trending back towards what Hugh Freeze had in place there.
All right, let's take a look at the schedule today. You know, most of the undefeated teams in action, and they're mostly in some pretty good matchups. I'll go in order of the clock. 4:00 this afternoon, Georgia, LSU, obviously a pretty big one there. LSU stay undefeated after this one?
I think they do. You know, look, Georgia comes into this, the nation's #4 defense. They have not faced an offense ranked higher than 44th this season. LSU, of course, #2, 560 yards a game. As good as they've been, I just don't think that they can contain Joe Burrow and that Tigers offense.
So it's just a step up in class is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think in order for Georgia to win this game, they have to, one, force turnovers, and LSU, you've had six interceptions that Burrow's thrown. He hasn't thrown more than two since the end of October. I just think there's just too much offensively there for them to hold them in. And can their own offense do enough to keep up? They just, Fromm and me, just and company to me, just has not lived up to the expectations.
All right, I'm not going to ask you just outright if Clemson is going to beat Virginia. The spread is 20.5, so that's a little bit of a layup. Even though Virginia's ranked inside the top 25, any chance this is one that we'll be monitoring at least, or is Clemson going to cover that?
I think they'll cover, but I will tell you, I mean, Bryce Perkins is a lot of fun to watch, and I think that's something that a lot of people, if you haven't watched a lot of Virginia football, you're going to see one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And I think this guy's really severely underrated. He will have some success against that Clemson defense, but the Tigers are just too much.
Do you like him at the NFL level?
I think so. And I think when you look at it with the way everything's trending, I think what he brings to the table, I think he could be a really effective kind of a Russell Wilson type. I'd really like his game.
Robin Lundberg talking to Corey McCartney, college football analyst, Heisman voter here on CBS Sports Radio. Then, of course, you've got Ohio State and Wisconsin, Big Ten championship game. Ohio State, though, still favored by 16.5. Any chance for the Buckeyes to be upset?
Jonathan Taylor has to be an absolute workhorse. And you look at the last time they met, I mean, he got completely overshadowed by J.K. Dobbins. Just had 52 yards on 20 carries in that game. He's got to have, like, you know, close to 35, 40 carries and then control the ball in order for Wisconsin to have a chance. I just don't think they can get it done against the Buckeyes.
Now, if you're looking for another game with a lot of meaning, of course, Baylor and Oklahoma playing in the Big 12 championship. You're looking at the college football playoff rankings, and you know, if the teams that we just mentioned all win, as we've said, that would put another loss on Georgia. So that would drop them down, which could leave an opening. Is Oklahoma the team to poise to take that opening? Is Baylor, could you see them in the top four by next week?
I mean, it's hard for me to not see Oklahoma pulling this one out. I think just that Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb connection, I mean, outside of Burrow and, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, that's the best wide receiver quarterback combination in the country in my mind. And we saw it last time, the way they jumped out to that big lead. I think they put their foot down a little bit this time. This is why Jalen Hurts is at Oklahoma. I think there's just too many great storylines to think about him getting this opportunity to play for a national championship. I think they get it done.
So is that your top four? But at the end of the season, do you like Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Oklahoma?
Yeah, and I think the only question for me is Ohio State or LSU going to be number one? I think LSU, with, you know, the bonus of getting another top four win on championship weekend, might get that push over. And then, you know, of course, whoever gets it, I mean, here in Atlanta, you're looking at whoever is that number one getting the game here in the Peach Bowl. I think that's, to me, is going to be the only debate after today, is who should be number one.
If you were picking the number one team, let's say they both win, I'm sensing it's LSU?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to have five wins over top 10 opponents in the season, and as dominant as Ohio State has been at times, you know, I was looking at this when considering Joe Burrow's Heisman resume. We've never had a player going to Heisman weekend with five wins over top 10 teams. And when you consider that being LSU's resume, to me, it's hard to have them not be number one.
Now, that's an individually focused right now. The Heisman, obviously, you are a Heisman voter. Is that where you're leaning for that race?
I mean, at this point, just feels like a victory lap for him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, the things I'm considering right now is how big is that margin of victory going to be? Is he going to make some run to some all-time records? How deep is the finalist pool going to be? It feels like Burrow is it's happening. I mean, it's just a matter of how historic this win's going to be for him.
Is there any story we haven't covered yet that you think is under the radar? Because, I mean, that's one of the things about this college football season. Aside from Alabama not making it, and obviously the injury to Tua, a lot of it has kind of been by the numbers in a week-in and week-out basis. Is there anything that isn't getting the coverage that you think it should?
I mean, I think after last night, certainly the Pac-12's inability to get out of its own way. I mean, they had everything set up for them. If Oregon hadn't dropped a game going into the – if one, obviously, if they hadn't schedule at Auburn to open the season, they probably would have gone into last night with a little bit more of some room to play with. But had they not been in the position they were last night, having already had two losses, I mean, we would have been talking about them, you know, vying for a college football playoff spot. I just think that conference, when you think about their problems with their network, it just feels like it's a complete mess right now.
You weren't, were you with the idea of noon kickoffs, or did you not like that?
You know, I just think they just, every mistake, it's just everything that happens, you just wonder, why can't they just figure things out? I mean, this was a conference that, you know, there was a time period where this was the dominant conference. USC was the biggest program in the country, and now it's like they're just struggling to stay nationally relevant.
Corey, appreciate your time and insight this morning, man. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, you got it.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and I'm joined now by Brady in Windsor, Ontario, from up north. Brady, what's going on? You're here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, thanks for putting me on, Robin. Nothing much. Now, as far as the Knicks firing David Fizdale, it's just another example of their monumental incompetence, which has been around so long that the last time they won the NBA title, I was still technically a teenager, and I'm 66 now.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for Commissioner Silver to think about maybe seeking new ownership, as he did with the Clippers a few years ago because of Donald Sterling's issues. And as far as Jerry Jones is concerned, I think Jerry Jones, whether he fires Garrett or not, I think it's high time that he consider letting his son Steven run the club. Not that Jerry Jones is ancient, but I think it might be about, he is in his mid to late 70s. I think perhaps maybe Steven might run the club in a little bit better than his father is doing. Thanks for putting me on, Robin.
Yeah, you got it. Look, I mean, again, I don't think the Cowboys and the Knicks belong. I know they both come up on this show, but I've mentioned this before. I don't think they belong in the same sentence, right? Like, the Cowboys, you may have some problems with the coach. You may have a few issues with how they're run. But they're just not a disaster. They're just not. Could they make some changes? Sure. But I don't think Jerry Jones has been absolutely horrible. The issue with Jerry Jones is he's so public-facing that it almost becomes distracting, or it becomes the focus of everything is what he's going to say or what he's going to do. The Knicks, you are dealing with a complete dumpster fire. And, I mean, I don't know what Adam Silver does. He can't really step in. There's no, you know, the circumstances are bad from a basketball sense, but I'm not sure what he can actually do about it. I mean, the best thing that can be done about it is public shaming, which is happening, but relentless, just relentless public shaming. No support. Stop buying tickets, going to the games. And competition, which they now have and they never did. I mean, that's the thing about Brooklyn now. There was no competition for the Knicks before. No disrespect to New Jersey. I like New Jersey. I live in New Jersey. But the New Jersey Nets didn't have that relevancy. The Brooklyn Nets have a chance to have that relevancy because they are cultivating something. You know, they spent so many years building the brand because that's all they could do. Right? Like, all they could do was build the brand because they didn't have the basketball team. Once the KG-Pierce trade didn't work out, it was misery over there too. But they installed good management. Good management has rebuilt that team without resources. All that happened without any real resources because they didn't have the draft picks because of the trade. And now they've got a bunch of likable players on that team that were the core, and they made the big splashy free agent signings. So again, if you're a transplant who's looking for a team in New York, who do you think you're going to pick? If you're a young person looking to start rooting for a team in New York, who do you think you're going to pick? So I think that's another aspect to it is the competition in New York existing for the first time that I can remember. Because when I came here in 2004, there was no competition for the Knicks. All right, we've gotten to that, though. Let's get to everything I have not as of yet in another one. What's going on, Anthony?
Ron Rivera out as Carolina Panthers coach after 9 seasons. Are you surprised by the timing of his dismissal? And do you think Rivera will be back on the sidelines next season?
I was a little surprised. I was. You know, we were talking about Jason Garrett before. Ron Rivera has a better track record even than that in a little higher profile spots, less high profile from the franchise, but more high profile, what I mean, being in the Super Bowl and all. You know, Ron Rivera, again, also has his limitations, I think. I've questioned at times, but he's got three division titles, I believe, and a Super Bowl appearance. Been there for a good long time. So it felt a little strange that he wouldn't finish the season for them. 76-63 overall, 9 years as the coach of the Panthers. With only three more games in the season, I was a little surprised. But they handled it in a fairly decent way. You know, when you first get that initial shock, you're like, really? They did it in season? But Rivera had a press conference, got to address everybody. Tepper was very complimentary of him after he let him go. And he at least gave his reason why. He said, you know, look, if I'm going to start looking for other coaches, I'm not going to do that to the guy and do that behind his back. I'm going to tell him up front. So I think the way they handled it made it make more sense for me. But when it initially went down, yeah, I was a little surprised he wasn't given the rest of the season.
Bruce Arians on Wednesday was non-committal on Jameis Winston's future. Arians on Jameis said, wait until season's over and then I'll make a decision. If you were in charge of the Bucs, Robin, would you move on from Winston?
That's a really tough situation because, I mean, overall, do I want Jameis Winston to be the guy? No, probably not. But with the quarterback position, we also know how tough it is to get a guy. And Jameis has those flashes that still make you go, wait a second, could it be in there somewhere? But he just turns the ball over at too high a rate. His decision-making has not improved. And therefore, I don't think the good that you get from him, you know, not being afraid to throw the ball down the field, the power in his arm, you know, I don't think that makes up for the decision-making. And eventually, you do have to move on, so I probably would. But it's not the easiest decision in the world because, again, you know, who's going to be the quarterback if that's the case? And that's always, you know, a lot of people are quick to identify the problem, but they're usually not as quick to identify the solution. And that's the issue you face whenever there's a quarterback decision like that is, yeah, ideally you want a better one, but if you don't have one, what do you do? And I think that's where Tampa will be. But I think Jameis Winston may be better off trying to resurrect his career somewhere else, and they may be better off moving on from the guy they drafted at the top of the draft to try and find someone who truly can become their franchise quarterback. But that puts them in a spot where they're scrambling in the meantime.
To the NBA, the Houston Rockets protested their loss to the Spurs due to the disallowed James Harden dunk. So what did you make of the handling of the whole situation?
I think the Rockets crying after the fact is hilarious, right? Because the Rockets do that all the time. So they have a reputation that makes it look worse. I actually understand it in this case because that was a made basket. It went through the hoop. It should have been a basket. It's a bad missed call. So, like, they have legitimacy behind their claim. But when you build a reputation a certain way, people are going to jump on it. So it's kind of hilarious for the Rockets. And for James Harden, he's so controversial in certain ways. Even the baskets he doesn't make get talked about. Because Harden is a polarizing figure the way he plays. And really it goes along with that whole brand identity of the Rockets. They're numbers-based. They don't do things traditionally. Harden monopolizes the offense, unlike any player I think I've ever seen. Like, LeBron has been a one-man offense, but he's known for distributing. Harden is in isolation, a one-man offense, even with Russell Westbrook on the team. So the Rockets are an intriguing squad, and they bring out some feelings in people, which I'm never against.
Major League Baseball, the Yankees owners, they gave the team approval to offer Gerrit Cole a record deal. John Heyman, MLB Insider, reported on Wednesday that the Yankees were concerned that Gerrit Cole will choose either the Dodgers or the Angels with their Southern California roots. If you were Cole, Robin, which team would you choose? Would you choose the Dodgers, Angels, or the Bronx Bombers?
My default is the Yankees. Because, that's the spot in baseball where you get the most attention. Now, does that matter to a player? You know, if he wants to, if he does like California, he wants to live in L.A. I mean, the Dodgers still have a really good team. But overall, if your goal is for the most hype around your career, the most attention, the biggest impact that you can have, there's not a team that offers that more than the Yankees in baseball. But really, that's a decision that's up to him, right? Like, whatever he thinks is best. I understand the Yankees' position here because people have been wanting them to land a frontline starter for a long, long time now. And it's been what the chief criticism against Brian Cashman. Well, Brian Cashman has still put together a World Series caliber team year in and year out, and they're competing for the championship. And it seemed like he didn't want to push all his chips to the middle of the table for a pitcher who wasn't worth it. And I still understand that strategy. Now, when you get into an offseason where all it takes is money, you don't have to trade the prospects and all that. It's money for Cole, then I think they should go for it to any degree they can. At that point, it's just going to come down to probably life preference, because we always talk about the sports aspect of it, and I just did talk about the sports aspect of it, but a lot more plays into it than the sports aspect of it. That's what we talk about. That's what we discuss. But in your day-to-day life, there are other things than your job, so that will come down to his personal preference. But the Yankees should be all in on Gerrit Cole. There's no doubt about that.
All right, so Tua says he's unsure if he will enter the NFL draft. He said if he knew he was for sure he would be a top 10 to 15 draft pick in the first round, he would probably then decide to come out. What should Tua do, Robin? Should he enter the NFL draft?
Yes. I mean, again, I don't tell people what to do. He should do whatever he makes him happy and fulfills his life for him. But when he went down, there was this rush to blame Nick Saban or blame somebody. The only thing you could blame is the game. Blame football for Tua getting hurt. It's a brutal sport. He got hurt because he plays football. Therefore, it would be my advice to not play another down of football without being compensated for it. You know, Tua could fall in the draft, but he's still getting drafted. He's still, because of what he accomplished at the college level, going to get a crack, I think, wherever he goes. Like, let's say he goes in the second round. It's not like he's going to be the kind of second round pick that people are giving no credence to being the starting quarterback. I think Tua will get that shot. The biggest question about him is durability, not just off this one injury because he's been banged up at the college level. I don't think it's really about his ability. With that said, if he's going to get back and healthy and he wants to go prove it at Alabama, I understand that. Oklahoma, Alabama, I guess it's just the same number of syllables. I understand that totally. But it doesn't really make sense for me. Like, I understand being the top guy. I understand wanting to rebuild your brand. I understand that being what you know. But I would not recommend playing football for free again.
All right, finally, Robin, we got the trailer, teaser trailer, they're calling it, which I don't understand. It's over 2 minutes long. Why is it a teaser trailer?
I don't know.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. But Black Widow, we got some footage. What did he think? You excited? Less excited?
I'm less excited than you. You are really excited. Well, first of all, you tell me why you're so excited.
Well, first, as a Marvel fan, it's the first movie of the new phase. So why wouldn't you be excited to see which direction we're going in with this?
One, I already know how her story ends. That's one. Two, she's more of an ensemble character for me. I liked some of
I've always liked the character. I just feel like because of, you know, with the Avengers, she kind of got lost in the shuffle, so we really didn't get a lot of development. So
yeah.
I feel like here's our chance to. So that's why I'm looking forward to it, because I love Scarlett Johansson. I think she's a fabulous actress. So I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing this character get...
What I want to see is the direction. Where are they going? Because the Infinity Saga, I think it's called as a whole, was so calculated and so well developed in such cinema, in the way that it all tied in together, in the character development. Like, think of Captain America, right, from the first one to the last one with the dance, and the first one to the last scene in Endgame being that dance. Like, all that stuff. What is the common thread to this next group of movies? And if this is the first one, I would think somehow, even though it's a prequel, it introduces it. So that is what I'm most interested in, is what's the big overarching direction more than the individual movies, at least the first few on the docket.
I thought the action looked good in the trailer.
Oh, it did. I mean, it gave me some Winter Soldier vibes.
Got the Red Guardian. Got some humor in it. The Red Guardian. Got Florence Pugh, who I really like in this. So
who knows who the Red Guardian is, though? You have to be like a real comic book person to know.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Do you?
No, no regular person knows who the Red Guardian is. Do you know who the Red Guardian is? No, getting a no in there.
Russia's Captain America.
Yeah, I know, Captain America. Again, you have to be a real comic book person to know that. I mean, which is fine. I'm glad you are, and I'm glad you're excited, and I'm definitely going to see it. You know, I see all those.
Yeah.
But it's not the one that I was like, oh, I can't wait for. Especially now, you know, my wife was like, isn't she dead?
I wonder, from what we learn in this movie, if that will make her death even more, like, important, or, you know?
It has to have some consequence. Yeah. The movie has to have some weight to it. Otherwise, it could have been like a TV spinoff. Or something like that. All right. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show. I'll be back same time, same place next week. Andrew Filippone coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.